And I appreciate that special. One day we'll gather around the throne of Christ. And if we've been faithful to receive those rewards, we get to cast our crowns at His feet. And what a day that'll be. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 4 is where we're going to begin today. We've been learning about families that glorify God for the last few weeks, and started a few weeks ago about how important it is to have a biblical foundation and how important it is to have the Word of God in your lives. I've been challenging you guys to have family devotions. And it doesn't matter if your kids are small or if you're empty nesters or anywhere in between, you ought to have a time where whoever is in your family gathers around the Word of God, you read the Word of God together, discuss it together, and pray together, and we ought to have that time together in the Word of God. We've got to be intentional about getting God's Word in our family. And for some of you whose children are gone from home and you think it doesn't matter anymore, there's nothing that will strengthen your marriage like getting together in the Word of God. And you need that time together in the Word of God. And so we've learned about that. We've learned about how important it is to understand that children are a blessing from God. Amen. We have a society today that celebrates the freedom to choose to murder their unborn child. And what a sad thing it is. I look around at the small children in here. We've got even more in the back. And just think about those precious babies. And to have people dancing in the street to celebrate the right to terminate their lives before they're even started, that's a sad thing. But God tells us in His Word that children are a blessing from Him. Children are an inheritance of the Lord. They're the heritage of the Lord, and it is a reward, a blessing from God to have children. And we're so thankful. Today I want to talk to you about biblical parenting. Now the word parenting, or even the word parent, you're not going to find in the Bible. Noah Webster defined a parent as a father or mother, he or she that produces young. And the duties of the parents to their children are to maintain, protect, and educate them. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about mothers and fathers, and we know that God describes Himself as our Heavenly Father. As a matter of fact, the word father is used 1,126 times in over 970 different verses in the Bible. Fatherhood is very important according to the Word of God. Mothers are mentioned 320 times in 292 different verses. And I just want you to get that God has a lot to say about moms and dads, and it's very important that we learn from the Word of God today. Now, I know that some of you don't have children. Some of you aren't married yet. And some of you think, well, my kids are raised and gone, and that job's done. But as long as you're alive, you're always a parent. And you have an influence on your children. And so whether you don't have kids yet, I hope you can learn some things that will help you when you do. And some of you who are children at home still, that you can learn things that will help you. When you hear what a mom and dad are supposed to do, it might help you to do what you're supposed to do as a child. And then for those who are in the middle of it right now, that we can gain some truths from the Word of God to learn to be the kind of parents God wants us to be. So if you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God today. And we're going to begin reading in verse 9, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came together, and you came near, and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with dark clouds, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, and ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And He declared unto you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And He wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Our Heavenly Father, we pray you'd bless your word today. Lord, please help me, for I am nothing without you. Lord, I pray that you convict every heart here today, that we would learn from your word how we ought to live and how we ought to be the parents you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that you would impress on our hearts and minds today the heavy matter that it is, the weight of the matter, the gravity of the situation of being a parent, the responsibility that we have, and how we will be accountable for the parents that we are today. Lord, I pray that you convict our hearts, forgive us where we fail you, Lord. We know that we fall short, but by your grace, I pray that you'd help us to do better today and the days that come, that we would apply these biblical principles to our lives, and that we would be the parents you'd have us to be. Thank you for your unending and unconditional love for us. I pray, Lord, that if there is anyone here today who's never been born again, that today they would repent of their sin and unbelief. Today they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on you and be saved. For the saved, I pray that we would be completely surrendered to you, that souls of people would follow you in baptism and serve you faithfully in the church. And we just pray for your help now, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Man, marriage is a wonderful thing, and you know, it's so important that people understand, and we teach our children where families come from. Marriage is instituted of God. He created it. There was a Sunday school class, and they were teaching about how Adam was created by God, and then God caused Adam to go into a deep sleep, and he took a rib from his side, and from that he made woman. And I want to tell you something today, friends. That's not a fairy tale. That's the truth of the Word of God. He took a woman from the man. She came out of him, and God created man and woman on that sixth day of creation. There was a little boy who had learned about that in Sunday school that afternoon. He wasn't feeling well. His side was hurting, and his mama said, "Are you okay?" He said, "I don't feel good, mama. I think I'm having a wife." And we know that's not exactly how it goes today, but we see young couples come together. We got a young man here getting ready to get married. You pray for his bride. Amen. He's getting ready to get married. Isn't that good? Amen. Amen. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. And we like to make jokes about that sometimes, but man, marriage is a wonderful thing. It's a blessing from God. And let's go ahead and get it right. First comes love, and then comes marriage, and then comes the baby carriage, right? That's the way it was when I was a kid. It's kind of getting different today. I see the little timelines that people put up, and it seems like sometimes people get things out of order, and we want to make sure we get it all in the right order. Amen. Amen. And it's important that when you get along in your marriage and God blesses you with children, because children are a blessing from God. Amen. Amen. And when you have children, that you get to start your family, as it were, people like to say. Really, family starts when you get married, but then you add to your family when you have children, and your family continues to grow. It's a blessing from God. Amen. And it's important that a young man learns to help out. When they were in the hospital, one young couple, they had the baby, and he was like, I'm not doing this diaper. He said, I'll get the next one. Right? And so she said, all right, fine. Change the diaper. Well, the next one came along, and she said, it's the next one. It's your turn. He said, oh, I didn't mean the next diaper. I meant the next kid. And there's some of you guys that are like that. You're like, I'll get the next one. But marriage and children are a wonderful thing. But it's not always easy. Amen? It's a very difficult thing. I remember when Melissa and I were expecting Abigail, we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. And I remember after she was born, I remember us talking about it and just saying, I can't believe we got like a person's whole life to mess up. I mean, this is a big responsibility. I remember holding her and just thinking, man, I don't want to break this, and I don't want to mess this up. And here's the reality, friends. As parents, we have more influence over our children than anyone else in the world. And God has called us to train them up and to teach them and to be responsible for that. And we have a pervasive attitude in our country today. And you'll see people with memes and with t-shirts that say things like, it takes a village. And what they're saying is it's a community's responsibility to raise children. And I want you to understand something today. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's not the village's responsibility to raise your children. It's your responsibility. And we don't get to put that off on anybody else, because on the day of judgment, I'm not going to give an account for how somebody else did with my kids. I'm going to give an account for how I did with my kids. And we need to understand that today. It's our responsibility. And yes, other people have influence. And yes, other people take a part. But you're ultimately responsible. But the Sunday school teachers in this church have an influence on my children. My children's grandparents have an influence on them, and their aunts and uncles and cousins and their friends and some of you are school teachers and all these different influences in their lives. We're going to be responsible and held accountable for all of that. Amen. And so we need to be careful about whose influences we allow in our children's lives. I just couldn't leave this one out. You know, the baby comes and then the kids start to grow and kids get real smart real quick. Amen? Amen. They're witty little things. And a little girl was watching watching her mom one night. She was getting ready for bed and she was putting the cold cream on her face. How many of you remember cold cream? Does anybody still use that? I remember my mom using that. And I'm like, what in the world? But she was putting the cold cream on and rubbing it on, and she said, "Mommy, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?" She said, "Well, this helps make Mommy beautiful." So she rubbed it on and left it, and then she began to wipe it off. And she said, "Did you give up?" The kids are awesome, aren't they? Kids are awesome. We love children here at Calvary. We love every child that comes through the doors, and we're so thankful. But the challenge today is for parents. And I want you to get where this starts. Back in our text in verse 9, it begins with a parent. He said, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." You see, he gives an instruction to pass on the things that they learned from the Word of God, but it starts with you knowing them. You can't teach your kids something that you don't know. You can't instruct your children in a lifestyle that you're not living. You cannot expect your children to live in a way different than the way you're living in front of them. This parenting style of do as I say, not as I do, will never, ever work. We have to live it. And it starts with knowing and remembering what the Lord has done. Take heed to thyself. Now, a lot of us are concerned with our kids. We're concerned with their behavior. I get tickled just like you do. And it's really funny because I remember how I was. And I love seeing young couples with their first child. Man, aren't they funny? Amen. I mean, it's like they want the baby in bubble wrap. And they want anybody who gets around their child to go through some kind of like detox screening or something. We want you to put on the gown and the mask and make sure you scrub in like you're about to do surgery before you get in the room with the baby. And that's the way it is in the beginning. But everything changes as more kids come. You realize that they're not quite so breakable, not quite so delicate, and it just changes over time. And I love watching those kids with those little ones. And we're concerned about them and we're concerned about that, how they act. And how many of you give your kids a lecture before you go in the public? Anybody else do that? Man, I remember those talks from my mama. We'd go anywhere and she was like, "Now you better mind your P's and your Q's." And I had no idea what that meant. She would say things like, "When I say frog, you better jump." And I'm thinking, you never say frog. I don't understand. But she would give me this list of expectations and how I would act and all those things. And I think it's good that you have expectations for your kids. But it's better if it starts with having expectations for yourself. God says, take heed to thyself. I have to make sure that my heart is right. I have to make sure my walk with God is right. I have to make sure that I am praying and I am in the Word and I am being led of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. I have to be what I am supposed to be before I can ever expect my children to be what they're supposed to be. You may not appreciate this today, but a lot of children turn out in not a good way because their parents weren't what they should have been. Now listen, ultimately your children are going to grow up and they're going to make their own choices. And a lot of those things are outside of your control. But my Bible says, the Proverbs says, that train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There is a biblical principle that if I do my job, and it starts with taking heed to thyself. Listen, you have to get yourself right before you can help somebody else. You have to get the beam out of your eye before you can help get the mote out of someone else's eye. Amen. If you're ever in the airplane, any of you guys ever fly commercial airlines? Okay. A few of you do. They go through the whole spiel at the beginning. How to work a seatbelt buckle. I've always thought, man, what kind of people are on this plane? Click. It's not that complicated. But anyway, they teach you how to buckle and unbuckle and do all these things. And then they tell you this crazy thing that if you're traveling with small people, if something should happen and the cabin should lose air pressure, that masks will come down out of the ceiling and that you should put your mask on first and then help the smaller people put their masks on. Why? Because if you're fumbling with their mask and you pass out, you can't help them. If you're not taking care of yourself first, how can you ever take care of somebody else? And we've got some parents that are really upset with how their kids are turning out, and yet they are not living for Christ themselves. Amen. Take heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently, he says. Keep thy soul diligently. That word diligently in this verse, and when you study your Old Testament, different words for this, the English word diligent comes from different Hebrew words. This one means to be vehement. Keep your soul vehemently. It means to have some passion and some fire, to have something inside of you that says, I'm going to keep my soul. I'm going to guard myself. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to make sure I stay right for the Lord. I'm going to be careful about the influences that are in my life, and I'm going to live a right way, and I'm going to guard myself and keep my soul diligently because I am responsible for my family. Keep your soul diligently. Why? Lest thou forget. We don't want to be like the ones who have forgotten that they have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We don't want to be like those who have forgotten what Christ has done for us when he died and rose again. We don't want to be like those who have forgotten what God saved us from and what he saved us to. We want to remember what the Lord's done for us. You better take heed to yourself. Keep your soul diligently so you don't forget, so they don't depart from the heart all the days of your life. Man, I just wonder if anybody else, have you ever learned some awesome truths in your life? Have you ever learned some really awesome truths from the Word of God? Anybody ever done that? How many of you have ever forgotten some of those awesome truths you learned from the Word of God? And you're studying sometime or somebody's preaching and you're going, oh yeah, I remember that. Man, that was good. Well, why did we forget? Because we're not keeping our soul diligently. Because we're not taking heed to ourselves. Man, I wish I could remember half the things I've learned from the Word of God. But I'm dumb, and God has to bring me back around again and teach me again. I'm like that in life. I've cried about this to everybody that'll listen, so since you're a captive audience. I was installing a countertop today, and this past weekend I broke it. And I don't know if you've ever handled a granite countertop, but there's a couple of things you need to know about granite. It's expensive and it's heavy. And we got in a situation and I knew better. And it's a lesson that I've learned over and over and over again. And I knew better, but I went ahead anyway. It got wedged in the wall and I went ahead anyway and I broke it right in half. And I don't know if you've experienced breaking something like that, but it does something to your insides. Like something inside of you breaks along with the, man. And I remember getting very frustrated, and I remember thinking immediately, I know better. And how many times does that happen in our spiritual lives? Don't forget. Don't let these truths depart from your heart. How many times are we going to kind of come back to the Lord and get on our knees and say, God, forgive me. I've done it again. God, forgive me. I've done it again. Lord, forgive me. I've done it again. And we keep going back around and back around. And we know not to go there. And we know not to do that. We know not to watch that. We know not to say that. We know not to act that way. We know all of those things. And yet we do it over and over and over again. And when are we going to wake up and remember? Well, only when we take heed to ourselves and keep our soul diligently. I don't know about you, but I don't like having to learn those lessons over and over again. Especially remember the day you stood before the Lord. In verse 10, he said, that day when he declared unto you his covenant, that day when God commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them. You see, it's good to know the Word of God. But it's best to live the Word of God. He never gives us His Word just so we can know it. He gives us His Word so we can know it and obey it. What is the great commission that He gives us? That we would go and teach all nations, and we would baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and we would teach them to observe all things that Christ commanded. Not just to teach them all things that Christ commanded, but to observe them. And by the way, that Bible word observe doesn't mean to look at it. It means to do it. We want to do what the Bible says. It's what the Lord told Joshua. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you want to have success as a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa, then you need to get in the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. You need to hide it in your heart so that you can do it. Some of you know this is true. A lot of times, God won't show us what He wants us to do because we've already made up our mind we're not going to do it. You see, we need to come to the Word of God every day. In our daily devotions, we need to come to God every day with a heart that says, I'm going to do what God shows me to do. We need to come into these preaching times with that heart that says, whatever God shows me, I'm going to do it. And if you come here thinking that there's no need for change, then you don't know yourself as well as you think you do. Know and remember what the Lord has done. Now I'd like to ask you to notice that he says, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. We need to teach them to our kids, and we need to teach them to our grandkids. Listen, as long as we're alive, the teaching never stops. Those opportunities are before us every single day, and we have a responsibility. If the Lord allows me to see my grandkids, I am going to do all that I can to pour the Word of God into their lives. Amen? Flip over a few pages to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And look down at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We have to know and remember what the Lord has done for us, and then we have to teach those truths to our children, and we have to do it diligently. I told you in the previous passage, the word diligently means vehemently. In verse 7, in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, the word diligently is a different word. It means to point or to pierce. It means to sharpen. And what did we learn last week? That children are as arrows in the hands of a mighty man. And what do we need to do with those arrows? Friends, we need to hone them. We need to sharpen them. We need to make them sharp so that they can hit the mark and so they can do what God intends them to do. It is our job to help our children become effective for the kingdom of God. All of you with children and grandchildren here today, are you not concerned about what your kids and grandkids do with their lives? I mean, do you not think about that? Now, a lot of you, they're like, man, you got to get to school because you got to get an education, because you got to get a good job, and you're worried about them doing well in school, and that's good. And some of you are worried about them getting in college and being able to get their degree, and that's fine. And some of you understand that maybe college isn't the best choice for your kid or grandkid. Maybe they need to go to vocational school and have a vocation or a trade, and that's good too. And we all want them to find their place in their life. But listen, I want you to know something. I'm not so much concerned about what kind of occupation my children have in this world. I'm concerned about what kind of occupation they have for the Lord. Listen, it doesn't matter to me if my kids end up to be lawyers or doctors, or if they end up being plumbers or electricians, or they own their own business or whatever. I don't care about that near as much as how I care about how they live for Christ day by day. Amen. And how effective they can be for the kingdom of God. Because guess what? It doesn't matter what kind of job they have. They can be effective for the kingdom of God. We want to sharpen them. It starts with knowing that there's only one God. The Lord our God is one Lord. There are not many gods, and there are not many ways into heaven. There is one God. Amen. And He is a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is only by the Son, Jesus Christ, that we can come to the Father. See, I want you to understand something today as we're talking about children. That every person in the world is not a child of God. Now, I hear this a lot. People who don't even believe in God, people who are not Christians, people who are whatever, they'll say, well, we're all God's children. And that's simply not true. Every human being is not a child of God. Every human being is a creation of God. But if they don't know Christ as their Savior, they're not a child of God. They're a child of the devil. Jesus told those who did not truly believe in Him, He said, you are of your father, the devil. They belong to Satan, and that's who I belong to until I was saved. Amen. And friend, today, if you are not born again, you don't belong to God, you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil, and you have condemnation and judgment abiding on you. When God gives you justice, you'll end up separated from Him forever in the lake of fire. But God did love you incredibly. So much so that He sent His only begotten Son to die for your sin. Amen. And if you would turn from your sin and unbelief and trust in Christ with all your heart, you call on Him and He will give you everlasting life. You could be born again into the family of God. Amen. When we believe in Him, we are children of God. But only when we believe. Amen. You need to know the Lord. There's no greater prayer that I have for my children and for your children than that they know the Lord and that the Lord knows them. Some of you think it's a given. If I just come to church every Sunday, or if I just come to church every service and I have my kids in Sunday school and I have them here for Wednesday night Bible study, they'll get saved. Just because they are in the building does not mean that they're going to get saved. Amen. You should pour the gospel into your kids from the time they're born. Amen. At home. Amen. You understand that not everybody who comes to church is saved, right? You understand that not everybody whose name is on the church roll is saved. You understand that? The Bible tells us plainly that the devil puts tares among the wheat. We understand that there are what we would call false converts, people who claim to be saved, but they're not really saved. And that ought to terrify us, because, God forbid, I don't want my kids to be one of those, and I don't want your kids to be one of those. But I want them to know, number one, that there is a God in heaven, and there is only one God. It's the God of the Bible. There are no other gods. Oh, there be gods many, but they're not really gods. They're just idols. They're false. And I want my kids to know the Lord. And I want to love the Lord. Verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and all the prophets. Everything in the Word of God that we would be commanded to observe and to do hangs on this. Love God with everything you are and love your neighbor the way you love yourself. And if you get those two, you get it all. Amen. Because it's all wrapped up in that. Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Have no other gods before you. And all of the things that we would do under the law comes back to, if you love God, you'll worship Him, you'll serve Him, you'll live for Him. You won't worship false gods. You won't have idols set up in your heart and your mind. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to lie to him, you're not going to steal from him, you're not going to covet his things. It all sums up in this. Love Him. And if you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you will love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love your neighbor today like you should, it's because you don't love God like you should. Who is your neighbor? Everyone who's not you. You get that? When the Lord's teaching about our neighbor, He's not talking about the guy next door. Everyone who isn't me is my neighbor. I need to love my wife like I love myself. I need to love my children like I love myself. I need to love strangers like I love myself. I need to love everyone around me and everyone I come in contact with in the way that I love myself. We got to know Him. We got to love Him. And we've got to get His word in our heart. Look at it in verse 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. How do we get His word in our hearts? Well, He told Joshua to meditate on it day and night. You get the word of God in your heart by hearing it, by reading it, and when it gets in your mind and you meditate on it, it begins to sink down into your heart. We get that. How many of you ever told your kids to do something and you would say it went in one ear and... Anybody ever feel like that? Sometimes I don't even think it gets in the ear. You tell your kids to do something and they continue to do whatever they're doing as if you never said a word. And I'm so thankful that I'm so patient and never get frustrated with my children or angry. My kids are glad for that too. If only it were true. We don't want the Word of God to go in one ear and out the other. We want it to stick in between our ears. And we want to meditate on it so that we can put it down in our hearts. We want the Word of God to be in our hearts. And then we can teach them diligently unto our children. How do we do that? Well, you ought to talk about them when you sit in the house, and you ought to talk about them when you walk in the way, and you ought to talk about them when you lay down, and you ought to talk about them when you rise up. Well, I think that pretty much covers it. When you get up in the morning, you ought to talk about the Lord, and when you go through your day, you ought to talk about the Lord, and when you sit down at home, you ought to talk about the Lord, and when you go to bed at night, you ought to talk about the Lord. We ought to be pouring the Word of God into our kids' lives every moment of every day, and there are opportunities all around us. I mean, it's everywhere. I don't care. We're at the house and we hear an ambulance drive by. What should we do? Well, we ought to pray for those people. Why? Because we ought to care about them. And what are the ambulance doing? Well, they're going to help somebody. Even Magdalene knows. Well, the ambulance is going. Well, they're going to help somebody. You know what? The Bible teaches that we ought to help other people too. It just doesn't matter. Everything around us is an opportunity. Our kids, man, we like to look at the moon and the stars. I love it. To see God's handiwork. What is it? It's the moon. God put it up there. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter. Night, day, wherever you are, there are opportunities. There are opportunities with them and their behavior. When they do something good, you can let them know that that's what the Bible says, that that's a good behavior. And when they do something wrong, you can tell them that's not what the Bible says we shouldn't do that. We don't just, it all points back to God and His Word. And guess what? When you mess up, you can get to your kids and you can say, Daddy should not have done that. I'm sorry. Did you know dads can do that? Did you know dads should do that? Listen, your kids need to know that you love them more than anything else, and they need to know that you're genuine. I mess up. Man, it just flows out of my mouth these days. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Because I mess up a lot. Now, some of you don't have to apologize much, but I do. I mess up with my wife. I mess up with my kids. I mess up with you people. And we've got to be willing to be humble enough to admit when we're wrong, because when we do anything contrary to the Word of God, we need to confess it. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture means tutorage, education, to train them. It also has the idea of correction or chastisement. In a parent's job, not just fathers, but this one includes fathers and mothers, but especially fathers. We're to nurture our children. We're to teach them and train them in the right way. And we're also to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. That admonition is to call attention to. It means to rebuke. It means to warn. We need to show them and admonish them. Listen, if you do these things, trouble's going to come. And we have to know the Word of God before we can teach them the Word of God. There are a lot of different ideas on parenting today. There is attachment parenting. There's permissive parenting. There's gentle parenting. How many of you have heard of any of these? Just put your hands up. Okay. Well, if you Google parenting, you're going to see all of those things. Back in the 60s, it's still a famous study today. A lady named Baumrind had described four parenting styles: authoritarian parenting, permissive parenting, uninvolved parenting, and authoritative parenting. And she says that three of those are bad and one of them is good. And it's based on this scale that has to do with your level of involvement and things like that. And she says we don't want to be authoritarian where we're just over them and we never give them any freedom, but we want to be authoritative. We are the authority in their lives, but we want to give them some freedom. And you know, a lot of things she said are actually pretty good. You know why? Because she studied what works in the world, and what happens to work well happens to be biblical. Shocking. But instead of looking out at the world and trying to see what's working for other people, what you ought to do is get into the Word of God and see what He says and be obedient to His Word. And some of you are more interested in what the latest psychobabble is instead of just getting to the Word of God, because I'm going to help you out. Dr. Spock got it wrong. And there are people today who are getting it wrong. And everybody who goes outside of the Word of God is going to get it wrong. But when you just go back to the Bible, you'll get it right. Amen. I want to take you on a trip through Proverbs very quickly before we end today. Gentle parenting would be vehemently against what I'm about to tell you right now. Start at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. I'm going to run through these. I'm going to talk to you about them just a little bit. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. He uses the image of a rod here. The shepherd had a staff, which was usually a tall, like what we would call a walking stick with a crook on the end, where he could hook a sheep by its neck and pull it where he needed to, or he could hook a younger lamb and move it where he wanted to. And he also had a rod, which was a shorter stick that you and I would probably call a club. And he would try to guide the sheep with the staff, but he would correct the sheep with the rod. And this is the picture the Word of God gives us. If you spare your rod, you hate your son. Gentle parenting today would tell you to never strike your son. As a matter of fact, they're starting to pass laws. They've already made it illegal in most states to spank your kids without your permission. In a lot of states, it's illegal to spank your kids no matter what. At school, and now they're trying to pass laws where you cannot spank your children at home because it is child abuse. You mark it down, there's coming a day when right here in the state of Oklahoma, it will be illegal for you to paddle your children. I want to give you all these very quickly because, and then I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you ought to abuse your children. When you use what they like to call corporal punishment, when you spank your child, if you're leaving marks on them or bruising them or cutting them or anything like that, that's not good. We want to correct them, and the correction needs to be effective. If you're spanking your kids and it's having no impact, you're probably not doing it hard enough. But if you're spanking your kids and you're bruising them up and leaving marks on them or cutting them, then you're not doing it right either. And when you correct your children, you should never do it in anger. And I'm telling myself this as much as anybody. Listen, when you're angry, it's not the time to go get the belt or whatever you can grab and start wailing on your kids. You need to calm yourself down and understand what you're doing it and make why you're doing it and make sure they understand why you're doing it. I'll confess to you today, I've been guilty of spanking my children in anger. And I've had to repent of that. But if you don't correct your children with a rod, you hate your child. If that's not good enough for you, he goes on and says, he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Look at Proverbs 19:18. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Isn't that a great verse? My mama sure didn't spare for my crying. Listen, some of you are like, oh, I don't even have to spank my kids. I just look at them and they cry. Well, yeah, they've got you wrapped around their finger. And you know what? Their behavior is not going to get any better because there are no consequences. They are smarter than you are. They've figured out if they just bring some big old crocodile tears that you won't lay a hand on them. That's right. I've just ruined it for a bunch of kids. And some of you, you start in with the punishment and they just go to pieces. Daddy, please, you're killing me. Stop. And some of you will stop because you've terrified yourself. Oh, have I done something wrong? God says, don't spare for his crying. Listen, this is not my words. This is the word of God. If you want to take issue with it, you can take it up with him. But I'm telling you what the Bible says. And I want you to get it. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Do you know what that means? It means there's going to come a day when there's not hope. There's going to come a day when it's too late. And some of you have let your kids get too old and too far gone, and now it's too late. You can whoop them all you want to, and it's not going to change anything. Their hearts are already set in the wrong way. They're already grown crooked. Listen, the bent twig turns into a crooked tree. You've got to keep that twig straight so it will grow up straight. Have you ever seen somebody plant a tree, and they put stakes out, and they put ropes around it to hold it? Why? Because they don't want it to grow crooked. And when you correct your children, you are helping to keep them straight. And if you wait too long to get involved with chastening your children, they may be past hope. And that's terrifying to me. Amen. You see, when I see unruly children in life or even right here in the church, I'm not just annoyed because they're unruly children. I'm terrified for them. Because an unruly child means that there's a parent who is not disciplining their children right. That's hard preaching, isn't it? But I need to hear it, and so do you. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now, I know all of the contemporary people today would just die over this truth. But did you know that children are born with a sin nature? And did you know that they are not inherently good? Did you know that there are some idiots in the world today that think that your children are good? And with gentle parenting, it's gone so crazy that you can't even tell a child that their behavior was bad. If your child ever did anything wrong, you couldn't even identify it as wrong because you couldn't say that. But if your child did something wrong, it would be your fault as the parent because you didn't nurture them in the right way. I don't care how nurturing I am to my kids. They do wrong things. Because they are sinners. The same as me. They're born with a sin nature and they act out on that sin nature. Even before they come to the knowledge of good and evil, they know how to do evil. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Let me help you out. If you want your kids to be fools, just let them go. That's where it's already in them. And if you leave it to them, that's where they'll end up. They'll be foolish people. And if you want to know how terrifying that is, you just go home today and read Proverbs and mark every verse that talks about the fool. Because that's where your kids are going to end up if you don't correct them. Proverbs 23, verse 12. Proverbs 23, verse 12. I know some of you don't like this stuff, and I know some of you don't want to be told that you ought to spank your kids, and so I want to give you a lot of stuff from the Bible just to show that it's not just me making something up. Because here's the truth. I hate spanking my kids. My kids probably think I enjoy it, but I hate it. I hate spanking them. As a matter of fact, I plead with them regularly. Please do as you're told, because I don't want to have to spank you. I hate it. I don't want to have to correct them that day. I want them to be obedient so I don't have to. Amen. Anybody else feel that way? Amen. No, some of y'all are messed up. You like spanking your kids. No. No, we do it because we love them. Proverbs 23:12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. If you spank your kids, you're not going to kill them, but you might save them from hell. You see, this issue is huge. It's no small thing. And if you want to get online and Google some stuff and try to follow the latest trends in parenting, you're putting your children's eternal souls in danger. Amen. When you got the Bible right in front of you and you can open it up and parent your children biblically. Amen. My son, verse 15, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. What a joy to have a wise son. What a joy to see your son and your daughter start speaking right things. What a joy it is when they learn the Word of God and they learn obedience and they start to follow God. What a rejoicing thing it is to have kids that aren't messed up and in the world and ungodly. Amen. What a joy it is when your children get saved and they start to love the Lord and live for the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Verse 17, let not thy heart envy sinners. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. I want you to look at verse 19. He says, don't follow sinners, don't go that way, but guide your heart in the way. Don't let your heart guide you, you guide your heart. Because your heart is wicked and deceitful, who can know it? Disney wants to tell you to follow your heart, and God says, no, 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 no. You don't follow your heart, you lead your heart. Amen. And some of you guys, mark that verse down. Put it on a post-it note and stick it on every Disney movie you got at home. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Dad, you ought to live in such a way that you say, son, give me your heart, and watch me live for Christ, and you'll end up all right. But let's be real. There's some dads in the room today that probably couldn't say, son, watch me. watch me, and you'll love Christ with all your heart. Hey, son, watch me, and you'll love your neighbor as yourself. Son, watch me, and you'll know the Word of God and live out the Word of God. Mom, if your kids give you their heart and they watch you, are they going to live for Christ with all their heart? I'm trying to tell you this morning that we've got to be what God's called us to be if we ever hope for our children to be what God wants them to be. This is so convicting to me. If your children give you their heart, what condition is their heart going to be in? This morning, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And while our musicians are coming, I just want to ask you to please look into your heart. It doesn't matter today where you're at. Grandpa, grandma, mom, dad, son or daughter. The Word of God has spoken to all of us today. And I'm just trying to tell you, if you're a disobedient child this morning, you need to get right with the Lord. If you're a mom or a dad who is not in the Word daily and leading your family in the right way of the Word of God by knowing the Lord, by knowing His Word, and by pouring His Word into your kids' lives, you need to change today. If you are a grandparent and your kids are gone and you look back and you look back with regret and mistakes and you're thinking, man, I really messed up, I want you to know that there is grace available for you today. And if you're still breathing, it's not too late for you. God can change your heart and allow you to be a greater influence for God in your kids' and grandkids' lives. It's not too late. The devil will tell you it's too late, but he's a liar. It's not too late. Amen. You say, well, you don't know what I did and how I treated my kids and how I've been a wrong influence. I don't care about all that. If God changes your heart today, He can change your influence today. But it'll never happen sitting back there listening to the lies of the devil. So no matter where you're at today, every one of us this morning needs to repent. Every one of us needs to repent. And every one of us needs to seek God's face. Remember, know and remember what the Lord has done. Teach your kids diligently. Be diligent in sharpening them and putting the Word of God into their lives. Be diligent and intentional and vehement about guarding your soul and bringing your kids up. And you can't pour the Word of God in your kids' lives every moment of every day if the Word of God's not in you. So whatever burden might be on your heart this morning, as we stand together, we're going to sing number 447. If you've never been saved, we invite you to trust Christ today. Become a child of God this morning. If you're saved but you've never been baptized, you need to follow the Lord in baptism and serve Him in the church. Others, the Lord may be leading to be a part of this church family. Others still may be convicted about where they're at as a mom or a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, or as a child this morning at home. Whatever the Lord's convicting your heart about, please come right now while we sing.